Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing? As Dan said, I'm a grad student. So that means that I'm not a professor, which means that y'all shouldn't be falling asleep. I hope y'all don't. I'm a student just like you, and I have a heart for God, like he said, but I also want to be practical and understandable as I'm talking. So just give me a few minutes of your time. That's all I got. It's a few minutes. Thankful to be here. Never would have thought I would be speaking in a chapel service. It's like, whoa. Like, just seeing y'all, I'm like, whoa. Like, this is just amazing. Today, kind of what I'm talking about, what's on my heart is a word called compassion. I just want to talk about compassion today. If you have your Bibles, could you go to Matthew 9? We're going to come from Matthew 9. And we're going to start at verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And it says, "And Jesus went out through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this chance to preach your glorious gospel. Thank you for this campus. Thank you for the opportunity to be an encouragement, and also to challenge our campus, Lord, to live for you and to love you. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you be with us during this time, that I would speak clearly, that I would communicate effectively the beauty of the gospel. Father, I just pray that you would be with me. I can't do this without you. I need you in this moment. So that end, I'm available to you. Use me. Let the seed of your word fall on good ground. Let it take root and let it bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you ever lived in a place called Cartagena, Colombia, and you were living in the 17th century, you would know somebody by the name of Peter Claver, or better known as Pedro Claver. Pedro Claver was a Jesus lover, a Jesus-loving man. He wasn't black, neither was he a slave, but he was a Spanish missionary that was sent, that had a heart for slaves. If you were to just ask him, kind of, how would you describe your life, Pedro? He would use this term, this title, Pedro Claver, friend and servant of black slaves. When slaves would arrive from travel, from ships, he was the first person to see. He would be holding baskets of food due to the conditions of the slaves, of course, because slaves were treated inhumanely. He'd be holding baskets because they were malnourished. He would have clothing for them because they had little to no clothing. He provided medicine for them because with malnourishment, there would be the breakdown of the body. Their health would be deteriorating. Sorry to say words. Pedro's life could be characterized in this way. He prioritized caring for the physical needs of others. And this is one line that he said that just stuck with me. "We must speak to them with our hands before we try to speak to them with our lips." That's compassion. He did not just, but I don't want to just focus just on the physical needs. He also had another focus as well, which is spiritual. The greatest need, which is spiritual. If you were to see him, he was kind of, innovative. He held small groups. He would have a small group of slaves, a Bible study with slaves, with an interpreter, and he would begin to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. One of his most noted verses would be Romans 5:20. God has demonstrated his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Speaking to a people group who did not see their dignity, they could not see their humanity, but he, through the gospel, was like, y'all have humanity, you have your dignity. The gospel is able to restore that. And then later, he would teach the essential doctrines of the faith. One example is he would use a napkin to illustrate the Trinity, three corners being the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet there'd be one napkin. This was Pedro Claver. Pedro did this ministry until he died. Now, why am I telling you about some old dude from the 17th century? Like, y'all like, huh? Pedro something. Reason I'm talking about Pedro is because he had this thing, this Christ-honoring trait called compassion. Compassion. There's a danger in being a part of a community like this, especially if you're in ministry, especially if you're studying to be in ministry. The danger is that we can get so inundated with learning and trying to have the knowledge that we miss the action. We miss the action of what it means to be a Christ follower. The danger is that we can become professionals and not compassionate. There are many pastors, many professors, I'm not talking about here, many MDiv students, many MA students, whoever it is, they say they love Jesus, but there's no compassion there. There's no compassion for what we're seeing now. There's no compassion for what we're seeing. Let me drink some water. There's no compassion for what we're seeing in our society. And our passage today gives us a chance to see what would Jesus do in this moment, how he would show compassion, because he did. And we're just going to walk through real quick, kind of the way I do it. I just like to give you illustration and then kind of walk through the text real quick. Jesus is our model for compassion. Verse 35 talks about how he went throughout all the cities, all the villages, everywhere. He went everywhere. Preaching, three things, preaching, teaching, and healing, doing three things. Jesus cared for others. The reason he did it, the reason he was doing all these things is because he saw a need. Jesus saw a need. He extended himself for people. Jesus had margin in his schedule. And that's so unlike us. Even with me, one thing I told my RD this year, and if M3 is in the room, one thing I told my RD that I wish I did better at as an RA is to like make time in my schedule for him. To make margin in my schedule for opportunities for conversation. To talk. To just listen. Jesus made margin in his schedule. And if you study Matthew 8 and Matthew 9, you see that he does a series of miracles, about 10 miracles he does. And all these miracles are interruptions. It wasn't like, hey, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to heal this man. Jesus was interrupted. Jesus had margin in his schedule for people who had a need. This is a part of compassion. This is a part of compassion. Verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were, key words, harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. When you think about biblical compassion, you got to think about three things, three simple key things. Number one, biblical compassion assumes a need. It sees a need. I see that people are hurting. I see that there's pain. I see that there are people who are oppressed. I see a need. In this text, harassed means to be beaten down, troubled, and burdened. Jesus sees a need, and he's thinking not that, hey, I get to show myself and get to show you that I can do another miracle. Jesus cared for the people that were there. Jesus met a need, a physical and a spiritual need. Number two, it shows us that there is an emotive side. There's an emotive, emotional component to compassion. Yeah, this is the toughest one for us, especially during this year. We've seen a whole lot happen this year. The pandemic has happened this year. Societal issues have happened, such as the justice issue, the race issue. We've seen so many things happen. But my question is to y'all who are believers here, how did you take that this year? What was your response to that? Was it to make an Instagram post, a Facebook post? Was it to post a black screen? Which I did as well, but like, was it just that? Did you just stop there? Did you weep this year? Did you weep this summer over what happened? Lives that were taken senselessly? Did you weep over the political situation? Do you weep over the fact that you may have friends? Most of us have friends that don't know the gospel, that don't know Jesus, don't care about Jesus. Do you weep over that? Do you really weep over that? That's compassion. This word compassion means to be moved, to be moved by, to be deeply moved. I'm not doing this just because I have a platform. This is not a platform for me. I'm not in ministry for a platform. I'm not speaking to you because I want you to post me on Instagram at all. I'm not a Christian because I'm getting some favor for myself. I've been called to the faith to be compassionate. I've been called to the faith to be a minister of compassion. All of us have. If you are a believer in here, you've been called to express compassion. Compassion on issues of justice, compassion on issues of separation and racism, compassion. That's what you've been called to. Number one, Jesus sees a need. Number two, he feels that need. Number three, Jesus not only sees a need, not only feels a need, but that leads to doing, that leads to action. That's the third component, action. Jesus acts. If I were to put it plainly, Jesus is doing the gospel. Many of you probably heard a phrase that, though I understand it, it's only half truth. Many of you probably heard a phrase that says, just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel about this. And yes, we do preach the gospel. We have a need to preach the gospel. We have a requirement to preach the gospel. But do we just preach the gospel only? Do we just talk about Jesus only? If you're a Christian, is the extent of your walk just you talking about Jesus? Or are you doing the work? Are you actually being Christ-like and being like Jesus? It's easy to talk about compassion. It's easy to feel bad about something. But it's one thing to feel bad. It's another thing to have a heart and be deeply moved to where you do action. You have those conversations with people that you're just like, I just don't understand. I don't understand the feeling. I don't understand what's going on. Talk to me. Talk to me about, I know I keep referring back to justice and race because it needs to be talked about. I'm using it as an example. Are we willing to talk about these things? Are we willing to come to people with compassion? With truth, but with compassion. Because where there's real biblical compassion, there's going to be real biblical truth. That's verse 36. Jesus sees a need, he feels the need, and he acts on the need. He acts on the need. He's not being a professional here. Jesus is compassion. If you're a believer here, you've been called to lead the way in compassion. The church has been called to lead the way in compassion. We've been falling behind. We've been falling behind for years. Specifically in the West, we've fallen behind on what compassion looks like. We are called to be compassionate, to be deeply moved with what's going on. Many of us were deeply moved by what happened this year. With the pandemic, we were moved because many of us probably had family members or friends who passed away. Many of us have probably knew people who had been harassed and felt helpless due to how they look. But that's what God is calling us to, is compassion, to be moved with compassion. To be able to really lament means that you have a sense of compassion. You've been hearing all about lament. But yet people are saying that, but yet you don't see no kind of compassion, no kind of brokenness over what you're seeing. There's hope. There's hope with the gospel. There's hope that people will come to know Jesus. There's hope there. But yet in that hope, there's a sense of brokenness there. You're broken over what you're seeing. That's what my heart is. I'm broken when I see certain areas of Columbia. I'm broken as a Young Life leader. When you teach and when you come alongside kids and they're like, Jesus, all right. There's a heart of compassion there. I'm moved. I'm broken over what I'm seeing. But there's good news. And that's what verse 37 and 38 go into. We have a potential. We have a problem, but we have power. Verse 37 talks about the harvest being plentiful. Therefore, we have an audience. And it's my challenge to you, if you're a believer, if you're someone who's desiring to be a missionary, if you're desiring to be a pastor, whatever it is, or just a servant, do you see the lostness of your community? Do you see the lostness of your group? Do you see a need that needs to be addressed? Because you're not without it. Wherever you look, wherever your eyes are, you're able to see a need. There's a need to be met. In seminaries, there's a need to be met. And by need, I really hope that you hear me. When I'm talking about missions and having a missiological pursuit, I'm not just talking about you going to another country. We need it here. As much as we boast about being a Christian nation, we need missionaries here too. And what better mission field would it be than us as natives being missionaries in our country, giving people the gospel because they need it. They need it. There's potential. There must be a desire to spend time with people. Part of doing the gospel is the fact that you are around people. You're not living in your head. That's why I love the triad that CIU has: head, heart, and hands. You don't live in your head. You don't just have theology in your head. Theology is meant to be lived out. The gospel is meant to be lived out. This Jesus thing is meant to be lived out. We ain't just talking a whole bunch of nice words. It's meant to be lived out. And it's lived out through community, through relationship. there's a relational component. But here's the problem, it's dark. It's dark. It's dark out there. I see neighborhoods every week that are dark. I look at the news, politics is dark. I listen to people who talk about Christianity as how they understand it to be. And it's off, it's dark. There have been generations that claim to love Jesus, that, yeah, I'm all for Jesus, and I do this, I do that. But they don't read his book. They're more concerned with the brand and don't have a burden. Compassion gives us a burden. I'm burdened. Me studying ministry and all that, I can talk, and you've probably heard me talk about ministry stuff if you had a conversation with me. But for me, it's not just being able to spout that stuff off. I want to be able to live it. I want to be able to meet you where you're at. I want to be compassionate. That's what God has called me to. That's what he's called us to. I want to be compassionate. It's dark. It's dark out there. And God is calling us to be compassionate. We need to continue to be, to walk that path of compassion. Because what we're seeing now in society is not over. As hard as it is for me to say, as troubling as it makes me, it's not done. You're going to see more issues of race, police. You're going to see that. Now it bears the question now, how am I going to move in compassion? When that stuff happens, how am I going to move in compassion? How am I going to love my brother? How am I going to love my neighbor? How am I going to take a posture of listening instead of just talking? And one, my point to come across, but not taking the time to listen and hear people's pain. The reality is that we all have pain. But Jesus has stepped in as the great model of compassion to help us in our pain, to be with us in our pain. Not to forget it, not to minimize it. We don't. But to make sense of it. God has called us to be compassionate. That's what my hope is, that you be compassionate. As you go out, you be compassionate. You have a heart that's deeply moved, deeply troubled, deeply burdened. That's what my hope is. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would move people to compassion on this campus. That you would move students, faculty, to be ministers of compassion. And Father, I also pray, Lord, that if there were those here who don't identify as believers, Lord, I pray that you would send your compassion to them. That through this beautiful expression of compassion, that they would receive the gospel. Father, I pray that you would be with us today, walk with us today, strengthen us today. Give us what we need in this moment. Help us to be compassionate to one another. Help us to come alongside of one another and love one another well. Even when there's disagreement, even when there's conflict, let us love one another. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.